Sugi and Sota, we're going to start off with the Mishnah Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that deals with the Ksiva of the Megillah. So the Pasuk says, V'kasav es ha'alos ha'ila ha'kohen ba'sefer u'macha el mei ha'marim. Okay? Now, someone translate that for me. Okay, what does that mean? V'kasav es ha'alos ha'ila ha'kohen ba'sefer u'macha el mei ha'marim. Literally, it means the Kohen will write down the curses, okay, on a sefer. Now, what does sefer usually mean in halacha? A scroll, okay? Umachal me'amarim. And then what does he do with the what's written on the scroll? Well, no. What's going to erase the ink? The water. The Kohen then takes the Megillah, this scroll with ink on it, that he wrote whatever these alos are, he puts it in the water, and the water erases the ink, okay? And then, finally, what does the Isha do? She drinks the water, and then we're done with Sota. Well, our focus is going to be on the Chasav es ha'alos ha'ela ba'sefer, okay? Which, again, sounds like a very nitpicky thing, but is going to be very critical in developing a very interesting idea in how Sota works. Okay. So take a look at this hakdama for you guys. This is a great hakdama to help understand. Our objective today is going to be more about just getting the facts down, okay? We're not going to touch any svaras yet. And in order to appreciate the struggle the Mishnah and Gemara initially is going to go through, this background is going to help out a lot. So this is very important. Hold on to this information. You're going to need it as we go through this tomorrow and probably Sunday, okay? Okay, so Parsha Sota Nechla L'Shlosh Inyanim. So the Parsha of Sota is divided up into three groups. Okay, ha'echad, okay, tzivos, okay, shehem hapsukim bahem mitzuva hatorah ma la'asos binyan sota. So the first thing is mitzvos. Okay, the psukim in the Torah that detail what you're chayev to do when it comes to sota. Okay, so it's listed clearly in the psukim. The psukim explain this is what the kohen has to do here. This is what she has to do here. Anytime the Torah is speaking about an obligatory action to do for Sota, that's going to be tzivos, or mitzvah, okay? Sheni is shvuos alos uklalos, okay? Those are the psukim in the Torah that explain the oaths and curses, the oaths that she takes, and the curses that will befall the woman, right? Adas alat sacha zinsa, for if she went ahead and committed the crime. And havashlishi kabalos. Okay, Kabbalos means acceptance. Shehem apsukim bahem uvuaros hakabbalos shemekabelas aisha al atzma es ashvuos ves alos velklos shemachol aleha kohen. Okay, so just to go back up for a second, as an example, okay, where's the Kabbalah here? The Kabbalah is in Pasuk Chapez, the amara haisha amen amen. That's a Kabbalah. What's mitzvah? A mitzvah would be, for example, vilakach hakohen mayim kudoshim lechicharis. That's mitzvah, okay? And shvua, technically, would be right from here. Im lo shachav ishosach, vim lo satis tuma tachas hishech. That's the content of the shvua, right? Or let's say the klala, okay? Yitain Hashem osach le'olav lishvua v'soch amech, b'seis Hashem es yirechech nofeles, ves bitnech sava. That would be an example of klala. Okay, so again, in the psukim, you find three categories. You find mitzvah, right, which would be the action the Kohen is obligated to do, or the woman. You find Kabbalah, which is her acceptance, right? Amen, amen, she's accepting this. And then you have, what do you call it? Shvuos, alos, and klalos, which refer to the actual thing that she's swearing to. So Yitain Hashem osach be'olav v'shvua v'tzoch amech, that's an example of shvuos, alos, and klalos, okay? And he spells it out right here. Tziva v'yishbia osach kohen, okay? Because the Kohen is required to make her swear. So that's a tzivoy. That's a command. Okay? Tevos elu enam in a klalos, elahena tzavari shona. Right? Shem mitzvah la Kohen lomor li shakach. So as an example, when it says vishbia osah ha-Kohen, that is an example of a mitzvah. Because the Kohen is obligated to tell her this. Then you have klala. What's an example of a curse? Ve'amar ha-Kohen el ha-Isha. Im lo shachav ish osach, im lo satis tumat tachas ishech, hinaki mimei hamarim arim ha'eleh. That you'll see, I know this is inverted, as we'll see in a second, but what's klala here mean? The Kohen says to the woman, right, if you did not sleep with this guy, right, the waters will cleanse you, okay? Umashmos hadvarim hi, and what's the implication? Aval im satis lo sinaki. So if the Kohen tells her, right, that explains to her, if you go ahead, if you did not sleep with the guy, the waters will clean you. So of course, what does that teach you? That if she did sleep with that guy, right, what's going to happen with the waters? They're going to kill her, okay? So you can infer the klala from the pasuk. So even though the pasuk itself doesn't sound like a curse, it sounds like a blessing. As he says right here, vizu klala haba machmas bracha, right? It's a klala that you imply, insinuate from the bracha. Because the pasuk is saying something positive. It's saying, if you didn't do it, nothing's going to happen. Of course, what is implied by that? If you did do it, you're going to be in big trouble. Okay? That's an example of klala. Okay? What's an example of Allah? Like the other kind of curse? Va'at, or I shouldn't say that. What's an example of curse? Va'at ki satis tachas ishech, right? If you did sleep with the guy, et cetera, et cetera, right? What's going to happen? You're going to end up getting, killed. Okay? That's an example of a pasuk of an Allah. Okay? Okay, fine. So far, so good? Is that clear? Okay. Next. Make sure we're all on the same page, okay? There's the obligation, right? The obligatory actions. There's the content, right, of what she's taken upon herself. And then there's the acceptance of it. Okay? Is that clear? We're almost done with this. Then it says, V'yishbi'a kohen es ha'isha b'shvuaso Allah, v'amara kohen la'isha. So now this is the second sivoy, right? Because now the Kohen, again, has to make her, in a sense, take the shvua of the curse. And that's, again, that's not the klala, right? Eila, Allah shvua klala. Now the content is, yitain Hashem v'soch l'olav v'shvua v'soch amech. That's the content. And then in Vav over here, Kabbalah, v'amra ha'isha amein amein. That's her accepting this, okay? And then finally, the Torah says, v'chosav es ha'alosa eila kohen ba'sefer, u'machal me'amarim. So of course, you should know by now, what's the Mishnah and the Gemara going to struggle with? What exactly has to be written on this Megillah? Okay? It says, Ha'alo Sa'ila. What is that referring to? Is that referring to the Tzivoy, the Allah Shvua Klala, or Kabbalah? Is it referring to two of them or all three of them? Okay? That's going to be the issue the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to take up. Okay? I know it sounds dry, but trust me. It's a very fascinating question that Gemara struggles with. Okay? Okay. So let's do the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It says, Bolo Lichtov Es HaMegillah. Okay? So now it's time for the Kohen, okay, to write the Megillah, the scroll, that will go ahead and be put in the water. Okay? The scroll for Sota. Me'ezem Makom HuKosev. Okay? So from where, okay, at what point does he start writing in the Megillah? Okay? Because remember, the Torah says, V'chasov es ha'alo sa'ila. So what the Mishnah wants to know is, where does the Kohen start writing from? All right, he's got his Parshas Naso in front of him, and he wants to know now, what is he supposed to take from Parshas Naso and write down into the Megillah Sota? Okay? So, first Shita, okay? Meve'im lo shachav ish, okay? Ve'at ki satis tachas ishech, okay? So where does he start from? He starts from v'im lo shachav ish. Okay, what category is v'im lo shachav ish? What category is that? And then v'at ki satis tachas ishech. What's that? That's also what? That's also shvua ala klala. So clearly, what does Tana Kama hold? That what's contained inside the Megillah. Okay, and the Gemara says, "Ve'ena kosev v'hishbiyah kohen es ha'isha." You don't include what's v'hishbiyah kohen es ha'isha. You don't include what? That's the tzivoy. Okay, tzivoy. Then the kosev yitain Hashem osach le'alav lishua uvo amayim hamarim ma'el ma'ech latzos betam fil yarech. Right. That's shvua ala what they call it. Ve'ena kosev amar isha amen amen. So very simple. What does Tana Kama hold? What do you write inside the Megillah according to Tana Kama? Shvua alos kala. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't that the easiest way of reading the Torah? The Torah says, v'chasav es ha'alos ha'ela. So if I asked you, and Tana Kama is the simplest position, what goes in this Megillah? You would say, just the alos. So that's all he's doing. He's limiting it to simply the content of the curses. Okay? Very simple. Okay? Okay. Rav Yossi Omer, lo haya mafsik. Okay? What does that mean, lo haya mafsik? What does that mean? So, Rav Yossi is very simple. Rav Yossi says, it's not enough just to have alos in there. We have to have the tzivui as well. Okay, so again, Tanakama holds, one second, Tanakama holds, the chasav es ha'alos ha'ila is referring to only shvua ala klala. And Rav Yossi says, no, you have to include as well the tzivui. Now, Rav Yehuda is very cryptic. What does Rav Yehuda say? Shita number three. Ko atzmo eino kosev. So what does that literally mean? He says, only write the alos, okay? Ela yitain Hashem osach la'olav lishvua. So now, if you look back above, okay, now let's be very careful here, okay? Very careful, very careful. In the Tanakama's position, Tanakama said, you write both the klala and the ala. Which one's the klala? The klala is im lo shachav ishosach, right? And the ala is ve'at kisatis tachas ishech. What do I mean? Im lo shachav ish really is a bracha. Because if you didn't sleep with the guy, you're fine. But what do you imply from that? That if I did, right, I would get killed. And you also write the pasuk that's openly a curse, which is ve'at kisatis tachas ishech. Okay? So again, Tanakama says, I both have the implied curse and the overt curse. Rav Yehuda comes along and says, no, you just have the overt curse, which is Yitain Hashem Osach La'olav Lishvua. You don't have the pasuk of Vim Lo Shachav Ish Osach. That's an implied klala. I want the overt klala. Okay? Ve'en Okosev Amra Yisha Amen Amen. And you also don't include the Kabbalah. Okay? So now, the machlokes between Tanakama and Rav Yehuda on the surface is, when it says we v'chasov es ha'alo sa'ela, does ha'alo sa'ela mean only overt curses or even implied curses? Okay, or only the overt bad things that'll happen for her, or even when I can go ahead and imply something bad happening to her, I would also put that in the Megillah as well. Got to mention that. Who would include the Kabbalah? Rav Yossi, right? So the Gemara says, "My kamifagay." So what the heck are these guys arguing about? Okay, b'hai krokamifagay. They're arguing about how to read the pasuk. Okay, it says v'chasav es ha'alos ha'ela hakohen basefer. Okay, so it says you'll write down these curses in the sefer. Okay, Rav Meir's Tanakama. Rav Meir Savar alos mamish, right? So if it says alos alone, okay, it would mean just the actual curses. What does ha'alos teach you, right? The curses. L'rabos klalos habaos machmas abrachos. Okay? Does everyone understand that? In other words, if it just said alos, then only the overt curses. If it says these alos, that's coming to include even an implied curse. So not just the overt curses are included, but the implied curses as well. Okay? So then the Gemara says, but the Pasuk says, v'chasav es ha'alos ha'ela. So now, if it just said ela, so ela would be a miut, l'miutei klalosh of Mishnah Torah. So ela would come, ela often is an exclusionary idea. And as an example, it would exclude the klalos that are written in Parshas Kisavo. So what does ha'ele come to teach you? Okay. Lima'ute tzvos v'kabalos ame. Okay. So, but what would ha'ele come to teach you? Okay. Ha'ele is coming to exclude, right, the commands and the Kabbalah. Okay. So the fact that it says ha'ele, it means only these. Okay. Meaning, write down the curses, okay? The hey of alos is coming to tell you even the implied curses. But then when it says ha'ela, that's coming to exclude, right? And these is to the exclusion of the tzivoy and the Kabbalah. Okay, now, Rav Yossi, right? Kulu kida amris es, okay? L'rabos tzivos v'kabalos, okay? So what does he learn? What is Rav Yossi saying? Well, if it says v'chasav es ha'alos ha'ele, okay, so what's he learning the pasuk to mean? What's es ha'alos coming to teach you? Not that the hay of alo of ha'ele is coming to be exclusive. Rather, it's going to be inclusive. Okay? So when he sees it v'chasav es ha'alos ha'ele as being an inclusive phenomena. Okay? So the Gemara says, v'rameir asim lo darish. And Rameir doesn't learn it as inclusive, but rather as exclusive. And finally, you have Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, kulu b'me'ute darish lahu. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda learns everything's one big mi'ut, right? Alos mamish. Ha'alos l'me'ute klaus abas machas brachos. Okay? So alos means the curses, and ha'alos is telling you only the overt curses, and not the ones that are implied, right? Eile l'me'ute klaus ha'mishatara. Ha'eile l'me'ute tzivaos v'kabalos. So ha'eile is coming to exclude the tzivois and the kabbalah. Okay? Okay, so let's just stop here, okay? Because I don't want to define this today. I want to help. This is actually the hardest part of what we're going to do in this entire sukkah, just to let you know. But what you're going to have to figure out from this, and David is picking up on the problem here. We have to be very careful because our job, or your job in defining this, is not to start getting into why it's a riboy versus a miut, meaning why it's exclusion or inclusive. What your job is going to be is the Gemara has to provide a rationale for what leads them to the conclusion of A, B, or C, right? So what the Gemara is making us do here is it's taking us to the mechanics of drush. But what you really should be focusing on, and I'm not going to give anything more away than this, you're focused on for tomorrow is very simple. You have to understand, we know there's a tzivoy of the Kohen to write this Megillah. So it's a very simple question. We know at the very least that what should be contained in the Megillah is the Alos. So the question is, why should it be limited to just Alos? Why would you say it should include the tzivoy and the Kabbalah? Okay. And within the Alos, why would you say Alos overt or even implied Alos? That's what you should define. Meaning, take the Mishnah's position, don't worry about the mechanisms of drush in the Gemara. Just understand that they use the drush to really flesh out their positions. Okay? So what you have to define is what's the machlokas? Okay? And by the way, for the classic briskers here to make it easy, obviously on one side is Rav Yossi, who holds everything's included, and on the other side is going to be Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, who are limiting it to just the Alos. And they have their own machlokas about which alos is this referring to. In other words, the way you want to set it up is, you first want to define the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the other two guys. Meaning, do we limit the Megillah to just alos, or is it more inclusive? And once you define that, then define the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, right? Is it the overt alos, or even the inferred alos? Okay? And remember what's going on here. And that's what you have to kind of keep in mind. What's the Megillah doing? What's really the Megillah doing here? Okay, well, I shouldn't say, I don't want to give anything too much away, but there's what's happening by writing the Megillah. What's it supposed to be doing? It's recording what's taking place. The Megillah is some type of recording of what's taking place here, right? And it's not for posterity. I'm not saying it's like a historical thing. I'm saying, whereas what you write down is what's being said at the time of the Sota.